So to start off, I just want to say welcome to the Art of MGF podcast. And this is my great honor to have Jesse Lee Peterson on the show today. So welcome, Jesse.
Thank you. I really appreciate being on. Thank you for having me on. Yeah. I like your background. I like the open roof there.
Thank you. Yeah, I enjoy it every day. It's really a really great thing to wake up with the sun and have the light all day long, for sure. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I first got into you, Jesse. I was, I think I found my way to your stuff through a YouTube suggestion. It was one of these SJW fails videos. And it was one where a woman, you had a black woman on a fallen state talking about white privilege. And you're saying, but white privilege doesn't exist. And it just blew my mind. I loved it. I had already had those ideas about these things myself, and then finally you were bold enough to be putting it out there. And, I just loved it. So then from there, I ended up searching and watching everything, like I don't know how many hundreds of hours of old church videos way back, and the radio show almost every day, and then the Fallen State. So I just am loving it, and I was amazed that a lot of the core ideas that I hear you bring up, the things that I, in some ways, arrived at through my own life and through my own inner process, just of facing the truth and coming to them. So it really affirms what you say about you have that guidance within you. You can find out if this stuff is true or not. And you don't have to take anyone's word for it. So that's where I got really excited, and I finally reached out and connected with you. So that's how we ended up here. The purpose of this show,
I appreciate that. You're absolutely right. The truth is out of all of us. We already know the truth. The problem is people don't know that. They don't pay attention to what's on the inside. They're constantly distracted by what other people are saying and doing on the outside. And so they'll fall for lies. And the moment you believe those lies, you're controlled by them. But if we follow what's in us, then we cannot be misguided by the world. We already know the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, in one of the church episodes, I recall you saying at the very beginning, you said this was something I didn't know. And then you corrected and said, I guess I knew it as a child and then forgot somewhere along the way and then remembered again later. And that's a beautiful thing. So the whole purpose of the show is really to exhibit how a person can go from being a victim of everything to being an adventurer in as many ways as possible, from as many different perspectives as possible. And I feel like you have one of the clearest paths to that, almost instant if a person is ready to accept it.
Yes. And what happened was I had anger when I was growing up. I resented my mother who tried to turn me away from my father. And the moment that I became angry as a child, I forgot the truth that's already in us, right? And the kid, as kids, we're led by the truth that's in us. But the moment you become angry, then you forget that truth and you wake up to an illusion of reality. You start to believe in the world, the so-called professionals and the educators and the preachers and the teachers. You start to believe them. And most of the time, they're lying to you. And once you believe that lie, it's absolutely, you lose that reality of what's happening. You find yourself doing things that you wouldn't ordinarily do because of what you believe. And whatever you believe, believes in you, and it will control you. And so that's why the world, they try to demoralize you. They cause you to become angry. They cause you to rely on the government. They make you hate one another in order to keep you angry, because you have to demoralize people or a person before you can control them. You cannot control a moral person or moral people. You have to demoralize them in order to do it. And that's what's happening to black people and other people in our country and around the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I see it all over the place as well. That's one, in a way, even though it's sounds like a negative, it's actually a beautiful thing to see it all exposed. And I've heard you say that a lot lately, that to see that evil exposed and how people are thinking and acting, because then it's so much easier to call it out and easier to see it inside ourselves and to get it, get rid of it, to get that out.
That's right. Absolutely right. And so on one hand, we should be grateful about what we see happening. And especially here in the States, the president, I call him the great white hope, President Trump. He is exposing evil in our government like never before. I've never seen one person expose evil in the way that our this president is exposing the government. He's exposing the liberal media, the Democratic Party, the rhino Republicans, and the never Trumpers. They never intended to do what's right for this country and for the people. It's always been about power and wealth for themselves. And they have kept people down in order that they may maintain that power and wealth. Thank God that this president is waking up the people too by dealing with these folks. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, black or white, he's gonna tell you the truth. If you're lying, you're lying. And if you're telling the truth, he'll tell you the truth. And that's how men are supposed to be. We're not, it's not normal for men to have fear. They're not supposed to be afraid of their wives and their girlfriends and the people of color or anyone. We are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be able to bring light into the world and tell the truth.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's something I've really, really, I think just this year, there's a lot of things I knew intellectually for many years, not trusting thoughts, all these things. And then when I listened to the silent prayer, it was like a lightning bolt. I was like, oh, that's right. Not trusting the thoughts. This is what it actually means in the body, in life. It's been glorious ever since then. Like just sounds, any sounds. I don't care what sound it is now. It could be a loud alarm or some police car going by or any sound. And now it's all proof that I'm present, that I'm here in the now.
That's right.
What
that's
a beautiful right. thing, man.
That's amazing to hear you say that too. I'm so grateful. Because we need men to wake up, and that's what's happening now. You're waking up, and you haven't seen anything yet, because in you, inside of you, it's the kingdom of heaven. And so everything you need, everything you want, everything you desire will come out of you, because God is with you, and that love will work through you. And you're going to finally become yourself. There's nothing like being you. And it's going to be amazing. You have not seen anything yet.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And yeah, even looking back at my own life, my own past relations and things, I can see exactly where I failed as a man. And now even that's beautiful to see. It's all a source of joy now. It's like,
that's right.
Yeah, it's great.
And men are the most hated species on this side of heaven.
Yeah.
And that's around the world. And the reason men are hated because they represent God. There's a spiritual order to life. And that order is God and Christ, Christ and man. Man over woman and woman over children. And Eva understands that men are the sons of God. Even if they're weak beta males, they still represent God. And so Eva wanted to destroy man. So it works through the woman to destroy the children, to destroy the husband, or anything to destroy that man. Because if you can destroy the man, then evil will come forth rather than good. And men don't understand how important they are to the earth and that they represent love, they represent God.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about that too is when I've talked to women individually about that order and about what you just said, they, in a private conversation, they almost all agree, actually. They're like, yeah, thank God someone's finally saying this. And then when I show them the beta male song, the song, and they all love it. And they're like, oh my God, I wish I'd seen this long time ago.
That's right.
And
yeah, you're right. When you talk to ladies in private, most of them will admit, hey, this is right. Some of them now are starting to wake up and they're admitted in the public as well. But in private, they will admit it. But for some reason, in public, it's hard for them to admit it. But they need to admit it because it's right. It's the right thing. And women need to realize that when their sons and their husbands and their brothers and their male cousins and things go out into the world, that the world hate them too. And they're going to destroy, they're going to try and destroy those men as well.
Yeah. Well, and what's fascinating about it is that on the surface, I could imagine a lot of women thinking, oh, that order means the man's going to control me or beat me up and all this crap, or that it's somehow against them, or that's their fault. They're taking the blame for evil in the world. But that's not what you're saying. What I understand you're saying is that it's just they're being taken advantage of just like anybody else. And everyone is suffering for that. There's no one to blame, but everyone is suffering.
100%. Every man and woman, or boy or girl, that are in the fallen state are being used, suffering. And it has nothing to do with being a male or female. It's the spirit it's a warfare between good and evil. And evil people, you can find them in all cultures. Just like good people, you can find in all cultures, right? Men and women. And that warfare is going on between the two. And it doesn't matter if you're a man or woman. It doesn't care. It will destroy whatever gets in its way. Just like good will save whatever gets in the way. So it doesn't matter about male or female.
Right, exactly. And when people make it about that, they're thrown right back into their thoughts and then right back into that evil again. Yeah,
that's right. And speaking of thoughts, I want people to know that every thought is a lie. Every thought, no such thing as a true thought, no matter what anything about anything, no such thing. If it reminds you of something, it's a lie now. If it tell you about the past, it's a lie. If it bring up the so-called future, it's a lie. So you have to doubt every thought. You just observe them, and then you shall know the truth. And the problem is so many people have escaped into their intellect thinking that they're their own thoughts, but they're not. They don't create thoughts. They're not from God. They're not your own. They're from the deceiver. So we got to doubt every thought if we want to know the real truth.
Yeah, that was a great key for me. And I had read in a couple different books by other authors in the past, they said all thoughts are lies, all beliefs are lies, all this. And I thought I knew that. And you know, these are books I would share with my clients and stuff. And not until, like I said, the silent prayer. I don't know if I was just ready for it or what, but it just clicked. And now since then, and not that I was even really an angry person, but I've noticed since then there's no anger. There's not even a possibility of it. It's
laughable. That's right.
And I've been hearing that with people, and they're like, it's not possible to never be angry. I'm like, no, it's possible starting now. It really is possible.
Yes, sir. I used to be an angry person too. And I asked God to let me see myself, and he allowed me to see that anger, which is the same thing as judgment, hatred, is all playing God. It's judgment. And that was holding me back in life. I couldn't see my way. And when I went and forgave my mother and my father, returned to my father, I woke up, and I've not been the same since then. And that been 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I've gone through much more so far than I ever gone through in life. And I don't feel it on the inside at all because I don't have the anger. I have the love of God, is perfect love. And I speak up and deal with the issues, but I have no personal feelings about anyone.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's just amazing. Well, I wanted to ask you about that because I know in your book, and I'm going to put links to all this stuff on when I post this, but in your book, From Rage to Responsibility, you talk about how you overcame the anger. So I just wanted you to get into that a little more. Like, what was going on in your mind at that time? What was in your life? And how did that actually happen?
Good question. Long story short, and they can read about it in the book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write more about it in that book. I write other books as well. But, you know, I grew up in Alabama on a plantation. I'm born there. And I raised by my grandfather and grandmother because my mother got pregnant when she was a teenager. And my father denied that I was his. So before I was born, my mother married another guy so I wouldn't be born out of wedlock. And then when they got married and I was born, they ended up moving to Indiana. And they had 9 more other kids together. Wow. I stayed in Alabama. But when I moved to California, I realized that I had this anger. And I had seen my father off and on down in Alabama and Indiana and places like that. But I had this anger. I was a Christian, so-called Christian, going to church, reading the Bible, doing all those things. But I still had the anger. And so finally I asked God to let me see myself, because I didn't know why I was still having problems. You know, I was just sex and all that. And God allowed me to see that I had this anger for my mother who tried to turn me away from my father. And then for my father not being there. And so, because I had this yearning deep down in the soul of everyone, there's a, when you're not close to your father, it's an emptiness. Mm-hmm. And that yearning is a yearning for the father. It's not a yearning for more money or a better job or more friends or any of that stuff. It's a yearning for the father. And so when I returned to my father, I went to him and asked what happened. He told me, and right away things changed, because I had no anger toward him and my whole life changed. And my father and I became really tight. And my life just been different. I woke up and I can now see. So I started a nonprofit organization called Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. And we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man, bringing back that order of God. Mm-hmm. And the reason forgiveness is so important, God said that when you forgive others, he will forgive you. But the problem is most people never forgive their parents, especially their mothers, for what they do to them. And so that's why they never had that perfect peace, because they don't go and forgive. We're not supposed to ask for forgiveness. We're supposed to forgive, because our parents could not help themselves. And so when we forgive others, God will forgive us, and then we can go free. And that's what happened. And people like you and men and women around the world, those who have gone and forgiven, their lives have totally changed.
Yeah, it was amazing. And, you know, I realized my mom is dead, but before she died, and it was a sudden thing, but before that, somehow we had connected, and it was just a natural that I had let everything go, and we talked closely about it all. And she said, this just happened naturally. Like, she said everything that happened when she was younger and why they got divorced and all this, and even suggested connecting more deeply with my dad. So she kind of knew at some point that was the right thing.
Yeah.
And, my dad had, he's still alive. He had had a heart attack 10 years ago. And at that time, but he was not with it when I talked to him on the phone. But I had this sense. I was riding in a car. It was on my birthday, actually. And I was in Wyoming in a car. And I suddenly had this whole sense in my body of his dad, who was like a severe alcoholic, crazy guy. Just had a crazy family. And I could feel this like force coming from his dad through him and then down to me. And it was like, I had this realization, this can end with me. This doesn't have to go any further.
That's right.
And then I called him in the hospital and said, hey, I forgive you for everything. And it just was natural. So when I heard you saying it, I was like, oh man, this is so crazy. But then I called him recently, just last week or maybe 4 days ago. And I went through it in detail. I said, hey, I want to forgive you for all of this stuff.
Yes.
And sorry that I had any resentment. I understand now what's going on. And I even stood up to him about certain things with the, you know, the woman he's with, I don't care for. And I said, I don't need to hear about her. I don't care about her. I care about you. And that's it. You know, and he loved it. We had a great conversation. It was so nice.
Yeah. Fathers love their children. When men and women break up, when a man leaves the household, leaves the family, it's not that he doesn't want his children. He's leaving the wife. He's not leaving his children. But most of the time, the mother tells the kids or give the kids the impression that their father left them. Yeah. They don't say, well, your father left me because I was a difficult person to deal with. He didn't know how to handle me.
Yeah.
They'll give the impression that the father didn't love the children. And that's evil to do that, because when kids feel like their father don't love them, they turn away from their father. Life is really hard then. The worst thing that can happen to you is to turn away from your father. You got to love your father. And love means just don't hate.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you got to hang out with him and all that, but just don't hate him. And when you love him, then you can love God that's in you and you'll be fine. But you cannot hate your father and have peace.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And one of the most amazing things about this fact to me is that it must be a $1 trillion industry. Like, if you add up self-help, personal development, psychology, psychiatry, all this stuff. And it seems now all of that is an avoidance of this core issue.
Yes.
And it's like, let's talk about it for 20 years, you know, and never, just never deal with it at all. And it's created like a lifestyle around this healing and therapy and new age and mysticism. And let's go find, maybe I'll find myself in India or something. And it's like, just pick up the phone and call your dad and your mom.
That's what I'm saying. You got to be crazy to see a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
They just take your money. These so-called experts have no idea. They spend 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years in college learning how to be a so-called professional.
Yeah.
And they have no idea what they're doing at all. It's just a ripoff.
Yeah. And even worse, it could be more damaging because of the drugs and the treatments they give are sometimes, I mean, historically, they've been insane. The shocks and lobotomies.
You know. Yeah, they put you on drugs, and once you get on that antidepressant medication and all that, it's hard to find your way out of that because you lose sight, really lose sight of reality, being, you know, having that anger and being on so-called antidepressant medication. It doesn't help you at all. It's a bad thing to do.
It's a total mess. Yeah, it takes you right out of the present, and that's in the way the presence is the only thing that can save you. It's not
100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
So there's
a silent prayer. I really want people to check it out on my YouTube channel at silentprayer.video. Mm-hmm. And I recommend that, you know, to give it a try. And if they're doing the hooping and hollering and praying and all that, they can continue with that. They'll eventually see the right way to go. So do the hooping and hollering and then be still and know God.
Yeah.
Your life will totally change.
And like you said, once you get the hang of it, you can do it everywhere.
Yes.
Just by listening. That's at least I'm fascinated
that's
by the
right.
sounds now. But that's the key, is because the sound can't fool you. It's like it's in the now. So
that's right. You are 100% right. Absolutely. And you wouldn't know that if you had not were not aware of it. So the reason you see that because it's in you and God is allowing you to see it. But you are 100% right.
Yeah, it's great. It's made everything beautiful. I mean, the sounds are just, it's perfect.
Yes. Yeah.
So, this is a question for everybody that's listening. So do you ever suffer in your own mind?
Do I suffer?
Yeah.
Not now, but before I woke up, I suffered all the time in my mind. I believe I was focused on being black. When I moved to California, I believe that so-called racism thing. I wasn't raised that way. In Alabama, we didn't have no race problem like that. But when I moved to California, I started listening to the so-called experts.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, white people are against you because of your color. And I believed in that lie. Once I believed in it, it messed me up. But now that I can see, then no, I have no problem with my mind at all. The thoughts, I watch the thoughts coming and going, you know. And I know that they're all lies, so it's no big deal at all now. And that's What happened is once you wake up, you cannot go back to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's excellent. I came up with a term I called fake suffering, which to me is all suffering if you differentiate it from pain. So pain, that could happen. Okay. If you get shot or something, but pain's easy to deal with because you just have to deal with it. And it's present. So you handle it. And
suffering
is this endless, meaningless thing floating around in the mind, and everything around you is fine. And then you're sitting there having a bad time. So whenever what's that?
Amazing.
Amazing, yeah. And whenever I see people complaining now on social media, I'll put hashtag fake suffering right below the post and then watch what everyone says. And people will get on there and say, hey, it's okay to complain. Sometimes people have to complain and this. And I say, it's not necessary ever. You're alive. What are you doing? Wasting.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be living, not complaining.
Yeah, totally. So one other point that I wanted to get to is I saw and heard you say when you turn 18 to leave home and go on an adventure. Now, I love that. And I did that too when I was that age. It was just like I knew when that date was coming that I was out of there and I wanted to get out of there and I was excited. I had no idea how it was going to work. So I really resonated with your story about going and getting a house. You didn't even know how you're going to pay for it. You just jump in. And then I remember, I don't know if it was Joel or someone going, well, but it's different now. And everyone wants to say it's different now.
Right.
Well, we're not in Roman times when you have to worry about, you know, the barbarians coming over the hill to burn the village because you left for the day. You know, it's actually maybe easier now than it's ever been.
That's right. As a matter of fact, any male, young man who is at home past 18 years old is a beta male. Beta. He's become his mama. Because at 18, you're a grown man. It's time to go out and deal with the issues of life and become a real man and create your life for your family in case you want to get married. But a man has got nobody living at home, whether with mama and daddy, but they should not be at home after 18. Yeah. And parents should train their kids, teach them to work very early in life, show them how to be responsible, so that when they become 18, especially the boys, they need to go out and start their own lives. And the mothers need to stop following them around. Don't move wherever the kids move to try to control them. It's more of a mother thing than it is a father thing. Wherever the kids move, the kids as adults can move to West Hell. Here come the mama trying to move to West Hell in order to control the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that a lot with people, men and women, getting controlled by the parents, and they think it's being helped and all this.
Absolutely. No, you definitely should move at 18.
I've sent silent prayer to all my clients. I work with people on a body-based thing, but it's basically, I consider it coming home to the body. Because before that, they're lost from here up and there's no one home.
Right.
The body, then I work on the not trusting thoughts and then getting out into life. It's simple, and then we try to do that in a million ways.
I sent
this stuff out to all the clients, and they loved the silent prayer, and a bunch of them have forgiven their parents, and they wrote back right away like, oh my God, my life changed in a second. They can't
move
from one moment to the next. And one guy has been really reluctant to, so I asked him to ask some questions. His name's Christian. He's from Norway. And he wrote, and you kind of answered the first one, why is forgiving your parents so important? But he followed up with, what if the damage they did is really unintentional and they are actually helping me out a lot? And how will forgiving them help a man like myself fixing or leaving a relationship that's not bringing me up, but rather down?
Well, number one, most of the time when your parents screw you up, most of the time it's the mother and not the father. But with both parents, when they screw you up, it's not intentional. Mm-hmm. They've been screwed up by their parents. And so they're giving you what they have. They don't have real love to give. So they're doing the best that they can do. And so in realizing that they have done the best that they can do, that make it easier to forgive them. And once you forgive them, you get your life back. Because anyone who has anger toward their parents, you become like your parents. You become like whomever you resent. That's why you see a lot of men acting like women, because they hate their mothers. And so if that person forgive their mothers and fathers, realize that they did the best they could do, it'll be even better for them. It's easier to forgive when you understand that they can help themselves. Mm-hmm. And it'll allow you to become yourself. You can be you. There's nothing like being you. And what did he say about relationships?
Well, his situation, he's in a relationship that is, he said, is bringing him down, not bringing him up. And he's saying, he's wondering how that connects with forgiving the parents. And then I think he's afraid to forgive the parents because they're helping him out with money and basically helping him sustain this unsustainable situation.
His parents are like the government. They give you money to control you. But when you look at a relationship, I guarantee you the reason it's not working because he ended that relationship in the wrong way. Men make a big mistake by having sex before marriage. They make a mistake by living with one another before marriage. And they make a mistake by moving into the woman's apartment or house. Because when you do that, everything you do is going to turn out wrong. Because that's the wrong way of doing it. Number one, men should not have sex until marriage. And the only purpose of sex is to make babies. So they shouldn't have sex until they get married. Number two, never, ever, ever, ever move into a woman's apartment or house. It should be the other way around. When you get married, the woman come into your world. You're not going into her world. Mm-hmm. And number three, he needed to become the head of his wife, because I mentioned that order of God and Christ, Christ and man, man over woman. And it's the man's responsibility to lead the wife and children in the right way to go, not to follow her, but to lead her. So I would tell that person to examine himself. And if he's doing it the wrong way, he needs to stop and do it right if he want a better outcome. Mm-hmm. Because women don't respect men who obey the male. They don't respect men who have sex with them before marriage or move into their place. Or if she can control them, they do not like that kind of man. They may try to control you, but they don't like it if you allow them to control you.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that everywhere in all the people I know and the relationships I see. It's
that's right.
Almost ubiquitous. It's crazy.
It's abnormal for men to be afraid of their wife. You notice how in most relationships, once men do get married, they become the boy and the wife become the mother. Mm-hmm. And that's because they're married their mother. They're attracted to what they hate.
Yeah, and I've had relationships like that in my life, and it was horrible. I didn't like it at all. There was not one second of peace in that.
Yes.
It was all working from, it felt like digging my way out from underground or something. Just a mess.
That's right.
Let's see here.
I just got a notice that I'm running out of time because I think it's supposed to be for 30 minutes, and I got other interviews to do. So
okay.
You just notified me.
Okay.
Is there something else you'd like to ask me, though, before I run?
Yeah. Two short questions, and I'll let you go. But if you'd like, I would have you on again. I have guests on multiple times, so I can reach out to Ermias and set up another one. I would love to talk.
Absolutely.
Great. Absolutely. The two more that I'll ask you. One is, how can someone listening right now begin to overcome their anger, starting right today, hearing this, not putting it off, not a process, not healing anything, but just start right away?
That's a good question. Number one, get to know yourself. Pay attention to what's happening on the inside. And you will see that you have this anger and that you're not in control. And you will see that it's wrong to have that anger because it's keeping you away from the tree of life. And so the best number one way is to be honest, get to know yourself and see that anger. You'll see that it's wrong to have it. And once you go and forgive, you'll be free. It's just that simple.
And to not judge or have opinions about the fact they have it, right?
That's right. When you see that you have it, don't judge yourself about having it. Don't get angry about having it. It's enough to see it. But if you judge yourself or you get mad at yourself for having it, it's just going to control you even more so. Because that's what give it life. That spirit get life from you judging yourself or judging others. So it's enough to just see it, but don't be angry about it.
Excellent. Yeah, I think that's wonderful advice. And so you guys heard it. Try it out. Don't let this moment drop. Don't take it in vain. And the final question is: did you have fun?
I had a ball. I had a hoot nanny of a time.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so great to have you on, Jesse. Really.
Thank you. I would love to come back.
Okay, great. I will reach out to Ermias and set it up right away. Yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. What time is it there?
It's 6 o'clock, 6:08 now, p.m.
P.m. or p.m.?
P.m.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know the time zone thing blows my mind always.
Because here is a little after 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you guys just switched the time, so I was all trying to figure out what happened. But
I know. Well, thank you so much, man. I enjoy talking to you. And it's an honor to meet you.
Yeah, it's an honor to meet you too, Jesse. What a wonderful thing. And I love the work you do. I'm happy you're doing it. And you have my support. And talk to you again soon.
All right, sir. Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless. Cheers.
All right. Amazing.